ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Continuing with our perpetual reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Just now, we're going to read from the 8th canto, 2nd chapter, The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. And I'm going to read text number 32. The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives, could not rescue me from this danger. What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile, and therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always the shelter of everyone, even of great personalities. Would you like to repeat?
Yes.
The other elephants, who are my friends and relatives,
could not rescue me from this danger.
What then to speak of my wives? They cannot do anything. It is by the will of Providence that I have been attacked by this crocodile.
And therefore I shall seek shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is always the shelter of everyone. Even of great personalities. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This material world is described as padam padam yad vipadam, which means that at every step there is danger. A fool wrongly thinks that he is happy in this material world, but in fact he is not, for one who thinks that way is only illusioned. At every step, at every moment, there is danger. In modern civilization, one thinks that if he has a nice home and a nice car, his life is perfect. In the Western countries, especially in America, it is very nice to possess a good car, but as soon as one is on the road, there is danger because at any moment an accident may take place and one will be killed. The record actually shows that so many people die in such accidents. Therefore, if we actually think that this material world is a very happy place, this is our ignorance. Real knowledge is that this material world is full of danger. We may struggle for existence as far as our intelligence allows and may try to take care of ourselves, but unless the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna ultimately saves us from danger, our attempts will be useless. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasyaneha Sharanam Pitarao Nishinta Narvasya Chavala Mudanvati Majjato Nyao Taptasya Tat Pratividir Yayuhanja Sheshtas Tavad Vibho Tanubritam Twarupekshitanam. We may invent so many ways to be happy or to counteract the dangers of this material world, but unless our attempts are sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they will never make us happy. Those who try to be happy without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are mudhas, rascals. Namam duskritina mudha prapadyante naradamaha. Those who are the lowest of men refuse to take to Krishna consciousness because they think that they will be able to protect themselves without Krishna's care. This is their mistake. The decision of the king of elephants, Gajendra, was correct. In such a dangerous position, he sought shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'm going to say a few words about this purport and verse, and then I'd like to also take some reflections from whatever we talked about over the last few days. So keep that in mind. Any points that came up that stuck with you in any of the classes or conversations that we had. Is that okay?
Yes. Okay.
So Prabhupada quotes several verses in this purport. One of them is from the 10th canto, Samasrita ye padapallava plavam mahat padam punya yesho maradhe bhavam buddhya vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesham. And in this verse, it is said that one should take shelter of Krishna, because he's the shelter of the whole universe. And he's also the powerful killer of many demons, especially the Murari demon, especially the Mura demon, so he's known as Murari. And then he said, intelligent people, don't take shelter of the material world, which is padam padam yad vipadam. Vipadam means that you can step in the wrong place, or at any moment some disaster can come unsought just by walking around in this world. Padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That's when one takes shelter of Krishna, that one's problems are reduced, and the material ocean is reduced to the size within the size of the hoofprint of a calf, the ocean of material existence. And the other verse he quotes, which is also very pessimistic, a verse as far as the material world goes, is from Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, Balasya Neham Sharanam Pitaro Nishinha Nartasya Chaganamudambati Majato Naho. So he says that a shocking things. So if you don't want to be shocked, cover your ears now. Warning. First he says, Balastineha Sharanam, that parents can't give shelter to their children. And then he says, Balastineha Sharanam Pitaram Shinga Nartasya Chaganamudanbati Majato Naho, that a drowning man on water can't be saved by rescuers who come in a boat. And he says furthermore that a medicine can't save a sick patient. Certainly doctors can. Unless all of this is sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So can we prove all this? Absolutely. Just go to your doctor next time you're ill and say, can you definitely cure me? And he will say, not only can I guarantee that, but I would like you to sign a paper that says if I accidentally kill you, you won't mind. That's what they'll say. And they'll make you sign like 3 or 4 papers just to make sure that you got it straight. They just could kill you. It's actually the most dangerous place you can be these days is in a hospital if you really want to risk getting some incurable illness. And then we don't have to go any further than the Titanic to talk about overconfidence in the material world, which there was a boat which is unsinkable. Never say stuff like that. Because you're just inviting material nature to come in. Oh yeah. And that boat was built so strong, and everyone was so proud around that time of the century that industrialism was on the rise and science was flexing its muscles and showing the puny, wispy religionists that this was the real power in life. And then, of course, it sunk on a maiden voyage. And so many important people in the country were drowned because they were all on the boat. And they were so overconfident that they didn't even put in enough lifeboats because they thought it can't sink, so we won't put on the requisite number. So forth. And parents, of course, do the best job that they can. But in history, we've seen so many ways in which children either go their own way or they can't be protected by the parents physically and so forth. So we really are helpless in this way. And this is coming out over and over again in the story of Gajendra. And in this verse especially, he's realizing his vulnerability. And this is actually a good trait, a good quality to cultivate, and that is some pessimism about the material world. That I really can't win here. It's an optimism or a feeling that somehow or other, I'll be able to prevail, that keeps me working hard to overcome material nature and make some adjustment. One more adjustment that will allow me to be happier, live here forever. But this management of one's expectations is very important. There's a way in which in companies, when they do marketing, they have a term, manage expectations, because they don't want the customers to have too high of an expectation and then be disappointed. So they have to present themselves and their product in just a way that people come and they have a better experience than they were expecting. This is called managing expectations. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna helps us to manage expectations about the material world. In the 8th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravarti Narjuna Mamupetya Tukunteya Punarjanma Navidyate. From the highest you can go in the material world down to the lowest, you're going to find the same anomalies, birth, death, old age, and disease. So this is what he says, from the highest planet down to the lowest, I certify this as a place of birth and death. And in another verse he says, Mamupetya Tukunteya Tukalaya Mashashvata. Now this is a kind of a striking statement by Krishna in the Gita. An alayam is a place. You can go in Vrindavan to the Bhojanalaya. And what do you get there, Madhukari, at the Bhojanalaya?
Bhojanalaya? I would have to guess.
You get some chapatis and sabji, as much as you like, for a couple of rupees. Because that's where they feed you, the Bhojanalaya. And then, what do you get when you come to the Dukkhalaya? All the misery you can stomach, one life after another. He calls it the Dukkhalaya, it's a place of misery, so he's helping us to manage our expectations. If you expect this to be a very happy place and that you're going to be very successful here, then you'll be very disappointed in the product. But he's warned us that this is a place of misery, Dukkhalaya. Ashashvatam. And even if you say, that's all right, I don't mind, I can handle all this misery. Then he says, it's ashashvatam, you can't keep it anyway. Even if you want to hold on to the misery, you still have to move on. So this is impetus to develop a kind of pessimism in the whole scheme of things here in the material world. The Prabhupada comes right out and says it in his Bhagavatam. Is this kind of katha bumming anybody out? I don't know. But if it's too negative, I can stop.
It's making me very happy.
Okay. In one place in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada describes the material world as a colossal hoax. Anybody have a dictionary? You look up the word hoax. Now, colossal, somebody give us an idea of what the word colossal means.
Ginormous.
What is it?
Ginormous.
Ginormous.
Okay, I got
go right there, Monica. Do we have another microphone?
Okay. Humorous or malicious deception.
Humorous or malicious deception. Okay. And then colossal is?
Extremely
large hoax. So in the outset of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described that muyanti yatsurayaha, that even the demigods, the devas, are faked out by this whole thing. Because it looks real, but it's actually temporary. So hearing the story of Gajendra and the Bhagavad Gita and then throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam is the best way to experience or to develop within one's heart a healthy pessimism, which doesn't make one a negative person. It's not that one goes around bemoaning one's life in the material world and telling everybody else that it's a dark place and so forth. This is a different kind of mentality. Actually, it makes one buoyant and happy to understand that this isn't my home, and to have further information that my real home is somewhere else. And this is the message in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the 15th chapter, Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachavir nachasampratishta ashvatamenam suvarudamulam asanga shastrena jadhena chitva tatatparam tatparimargitavyam yasmin gatana narupamasyeha tameva chajyam purusham prapadye yattak praviti prashita purani. First he describes that this whole material world that we're loitering in, by the way, this is another phrase. Prabhupada says, you're loitering in the material world. So where else do you see that word?
No loitering.
7-Eleven. They have signs outside that said, the parking lot. Who would want to hang out at 7-Eleven in the parking lot? That's a real total waste of time. It's insult to injury is what it is. And then you got a big sign up there, no loitering. The material world has a big sign, no loitering. And so Krishna describes that this world is like a gigantic banyan tree. It's inverted because it's a reflection of the spiritual world. And then he says, Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate. You can't even see its form. Because we're so much inside the tree, and we're so tiny, and it's so gigantic, that we can't actually see the form of the material world. Narupamasyeha tatopalabhyate nanto nachadhyan nachasampratishta. We can't see where it ends and where it begins. Nor do we know where we began or where we end. This is a consideration of being born into ignorance. I don't know where I came from, actually. I have no recollection. Even if you go to an astrologer, you get a vague idea of where you actually came from in a previous life and so forth. And I really don't know where I'm going. And the banyan tree is indistinguishable. You can't see the beginning, you can't see the end. And then Krishna says, you have to cut it down with asanga shastrena dridhina chitva. He says, you have to be very determined, and you have to cut down the banyan tree with the weapon of detachment. And then he goes on to show us what to do as we're becoming detached, and that is, one should then search out that place from which one has come, where that supreme person lives in the spiritual world, and there take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So two verses put together, and it says, cut down the tree with the weapon of detachment. Asanga shastrena. So shastrena means a weapon. And the weapon is asanga. Don't stay attached to the material world, or deliberately detach yourself from the material world. In the 11th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna advises Uddhava, Shuti pratyaksha maityam anamanam chatushtayam pramaneshvanavastana vikalpatsa virajate. And that is that you should use, Uddhava, says Krishna, four kinds of evidence to understand that this material world is unstable. And then you should therefore detach yourself from the material world. Four kinds of evidence. One is Shruti, which means you should hear from the scripture. The scripture, like Bhagavad Gita, is telling us it's a temporary place, don't take shelter here. Bhagavatam says the same thing and gives many examples. And oftentimes in the Bhagavatam we have examples of kings. And why so many kings? Well, partly because the Bhagavatam is listing the lineage of kings that go all the way to Lord Krishna's appearance, and then after also. And also because people generally think that kings have everything and should be therefore happy. But we see in the Bhagavatam over and over again great kings like Anga, Chichiketu, for example, who should have had perfect access to happiness and stability, but everything went sideways. Anga had a son, he wanted a son, couldn't get a son, got a son, finally had a son, and he turned out to be the worst son who ever lived. When he played with the other children, he used to kill them for fun. And then when he took Anga left home, he just said, I can't handle this anymore, and he went off to the forest. And then his son became the king. And then he caused so much trouble that finally the brahmanas, which they usually don't do, had to kill him with high-pitched mantras. And Chitraketu, similar situation, couldn't have a son, even though he had so many wives. Finally got the benediction of a sage, prayed, please, just give me a son, then I'll be happy. Has this prayer ever occurred in the material world? Just give me this one thing and I'll be happy. And then you get it, and the opposite happens. Prahlad Maharaj, in his profound prayer, profound teachings to his classmate, says that the minute you start thinking about sense gratification, not even that you get it, not even that you're pursuing it yet, but you start thinking about pursuing it, that's when you become unhappy. That's when the misery begins, when you think, there's something in it for me. So Krishna says, Shruti, listen to the Shruti over and over again, because every day there's other signs in this material trying to encourage me to stay here and be happy. For instance, the Coca-Cola sign, which says, open a bottle of happiness. And the Newport cigarette sign, it says, if you just breathe hot, tarry smoke into your nice pink lungs, then you can have a beautiful body running down the beach with all kinds of other well-built people. This is the message. And so on and so forth. And people have this kind of optimism about the material world that goes along with the idea of the colossal hoax. Besides Shruti, then Pratyaksha, he says direct experience. See for yourself. Go back and count up how many times you actually got what you wanted. And in his teachings, again, Prahlad Maharaj says, material nature, a trillion to the trillionth power, it has one living entity in the material world, zero. How's that for a scoreboard? You go to see how your team's doing, and it's a trillion to the trillionth power for the home team, Maya, and living entity, little Jiva, how many times did he win? Zero. Not very good odds. So, Pratyaksham, see for yourself, count up how many times anybody's actually won in the material world. Prabhupada counts so many times about the great kings and emperors and conquerors and philosophers who said they would, or scientists who said that they would help prolong life, and then they died. And there are plenty of poems throughout history as well. What is that poem? Ozymandias describes a desert with the busts of a great emperor who lived there. Now it's a ruin in the sands, and practically the face of the statue has been worn away by the sands blowing against it, and now there's just rubble. I went to Angkor Wat in Cambodia, and no one builds anything like that nowadays. I practically started shivering when I saw what they had built there so many years ago. Largest religious building in the world. And now it's, of course, it's being restored by UNESCO, but it was, through so much history, it has been attacked by humans. The Khmer Rouge came in and killed everybody, destroyed so many of the statues, took away all the gold off of everything. And meanwhile, material nature has had its way and destroyed most of the structures and so forth. Look around and see, Krishna says, pratyaksham, direct experience, what's actually happening in the material world. Is there any reason to be optimistic that you can make it here? And then aityam means that knowledge was passed down through oral tradition. No one knows exactly when it started, where it came from, but it's accepted by authorities and passed down. Aityam, you can accept that as evidence. And then anuman, which means logic. In these ways, you can see for yourself and conclude that the material world is an unstable place. And then change your mode of investment. Don't invest in a place where there's no return, but invest your time, your energy, in a place where even a tiny investment will have an eternal return. In the Gita, Krishna says, Neha Bikramanasho Sti Prativayo Navidite Svalpamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato payat. Even if you give a little endeavor on the spiritual path, it never goes away. It's eternally to your credit. Even a tiny connection or inquiry or endeavor in the path of spiritual life, it's your eternal credit, and you get to carry it over to the next life and so forth. So this story of Gajendra is real in our lives. There's a way in which it can inspire us to divest ourselves from the material world, to increase our pessimism for the material world, but at the same time, reinvest in spiritual life. Not that the philosophy of Krishna consciousness leaves one without any options and simply renounced from the material world, but we reinvest our time in the process of cultivating devotional service and going back home, back to Godhead. And that's altogether possible simply by following in the footsteps of the previous great authorities in Bhakti. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Bejare Munio Tagre Bhagavantam Adhoksajam Satvam Vishunam Shemaya Kalpante Dinutaniha. That previously all the great advanced devotees gave their worship, intelligence, and time to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. Because by doing that, one can attain the highest benefit of life. And anyone who follows in the footsteps of these sages is also eligible for the same result that they achieved. And it's not that one has to be a great sage. One doesn't have to be a great thinker. One can be a simple person, even from a low background or humble background. But if one follows in the footsteps, to the best of one's ability, of these great authorities, then one is eligible for the exact same result that they got. That's the benefit. So this is altogether possible, to become detached and then reattached to Krishna and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then one is in an actually in a safe position, whereas investing in the material world is falling. Hare Krishna. And now let's take something you remember from the last few days of our talks about Gajendra, or anything else. And we'll pass the microphone around, starting with Ananda Murari.
Thank you very much, Guru Maharaj, for class. It's kind of tied in. You said something on Tuesday at Fort Collins that you're explaining how in this tradition we take the name Das at the end of our name. And you gave the example that because when we try and go out into the material world with the mood of exploitation, there's never enough to go around and it'll always be limited. But if we go out into the world with the mood of service and the mood of giving, there's, you can serve unlimitedly forever. So I was just really appreciating that. And just talking kind of about this, it's like when we go to try and exploit the material world, we'll repeatedly face suffering and disappointment. And but ultimately when you go and try and serve with that mood of service, then it opens up in a whole new way.
Thank you very much. Who else has a reflection? Yeah.
I was just thinking about danger at every step. You know, if you don't cultivate thinking of Krishna in your mind at all times, and you know, if you're walking across the street and you get hit by a car and you die, you know, where are you going to go in your next life? Or if you do, you know, there's danger at every step. So, you know, that thought is in my head at all times, like thinking of Krishna.
Think Krishna all times, and also prepare yourself. We talked about this last night, how Shukadeva Goswami told Sri Shit Maharaj that the ultimate goal of life was to remember the Lord at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti, at the very end, remember. And that it takes preparation. A friend of mine almost drowned in the Ganges, and he was saved at the last moment. And then the devotees asked him, "What were you thinking?" And he said, "I remembered a soap commercial." And he was really disturbed by that. Whatever goes in, it actually stays in a subtle level for a long time. And therefore, take every opportunity to prepare oneself for constantly remembering Krishna. Shishi Radha Govinda Ji Ki Jai, Shishi Gauri Tai Ki Jai, Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhaji Ji Ki Jai. So Tushita Prabhu has instructed that then the curtains open, we offer obeisance, and we'll just keep going with the class. Who else has a reflection? Yes, please.
Maharaj, I don't know if this is a reflection or a question, but perhaps open to some dialogue. Why is it that, you know, I have heard your classes either here or over the internet, such a wonderful class, thank you so much, that we hear the instruction about Gajendra, we hear the instruction about how we should understand that whatever happens to us is not somebody else's fault, but is due to our previous activities or whatever. And yet, we hear it and hear it and hear it, and then the next day, as we interact among devotees, we fall in the same pit of not remembering such a wonderful instruction, but immediately whatever strife comes between us, that we immediately think that is the next person's fault. Why is it? The reason how can we fight it? How can we beat that?
You have to chant really excellent japa. That's the secret. If you concentrate on chanting your japa as the main focal point of your day in your life, and you complete at least 16 rounds, and when you chant japa, you should try to deeply connect with the holy name by praying to be a servant, pray to be able to remember Krishna, and to be able to give your full attention. This is love, actually, to give your full attention to the holy name, not considering anything else at the time of chanting japa. And during your japa period, chanting 16 rounds minimum, if you can get one molecule of experience of communion with Krishna in his holy name, then it will pervade your entire body, mind, and senses. And it will give you the capability of controlling your senses throughout the day. Not only that, it will give you joy in your heart, so that when you meet challenging experiences, you'll be able to see them with the perspective that, you know, this too will pass. And you'll actually be equipped to help others, not only yourself, but also you'll be able to extend yourself to others. And all this power, and the power of the entire process of Krishna consciousness, comes from the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. There's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds except the holy name. Nambina kichu nahiko aro choda bhuvanamaji. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, don't look anywhere else for progress. Don't look anywhere else for happiness. Look here in this one place. Chant at least 16 rounds as passed down to parampara. Then you'll have this powerful spirit. This is what I said about following the footsteps of the great acharyas. The great acharya appears in the world and says, here's a process. Follow four regulative principles. Chant minimum 16 rounds. If you follow it, you're eligible for the same result that they got, which is complete control of the senses, absorption in thinking of Krishna, and the ability to move in this world without being affected by it. That includes all the qualities that Krishna mentions in the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he says that the devotee doesn't have enemies. The devotee isn't dependent on the ordinary course of activities. The devotee's not disturbed by the various changes in the material world and so forth. Is it difficult? Yes. The idea to sit down and actually take some time To seriously chant Hare Krishna is difficult, but the alternative is much, much more difficult. The alternative of staying entangled in the material world or staying half entangled in the material world is almost worse. Jesus Christ, I think, said something about either be completely, what is it?
Hot or cold.
Warm, I spit you out. As Bhagavatam says, those who are fools, they're happy. Those who are paramahamsas, they're happy. Everyone in between. Try to give full attention to the chanting of the holy name in japa. It's where all the advancement in our lives comes from. Thank you. You're welcome. Also chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. While you're at it. Yes, tushna. And follow the four regular principles. No cheating. Because the whole material world is running on this idea of breaking the four regular principles. And if you follow the four regular principles, you become a great hero. And if you don't follow the four regular principles, then you have to wear an L on your forehead. And I won't go into any more detail. Please go ahead, Tushar.
Just a couple of reflections that I appreciated. One was, if you find yourself in a hole, don't keep digging. I like that one. As far as just reflecting on our situation. And then you gave the example, you were at the airport, you saw these two persons, businessmen, speak on their cell phones, and then they got entangled, crashed into each other, and then they were just having a serious false ego flare-up with each other. And then you shared how when you're in those kind of situations of conflict, instead of just trying to blame the environment, just, well, sorry, my fault, even if it wasn't your fault, like you were saying, you have this practice where even if the other person, oh, I'm sorry, and then you said you release them, meaning that you're not to spend your whole time life having this revenge, and you close your class this morning with a verse, I think you made a reference to a verse about revenge, this tendency to like hold on to it for a whole, let's say, lifetimes of just revenge and that conditioning. So just right in the moment to be able to say, Hare Krishna, my fault, sorry. And then you're free. So just...
As Mahatma, nice points, thank you for bringing those out. It reminded me of Mahatma Das, the inimitable Mahatma Prabhu, who's one of the great innovators in ISKCON, one of the pioneers of the Sankirtan movement, who's still walking the earth today. One can even see and talk to, which is a good idea. He talks about it in his seminar about forgiveness. He says, forgiveness is for you, it's not for the other person. If you forgive them, then you're free. There's a lot of details to that. It doesn't mean a lot of things like, you know, murderers go free and things like that. But it does mean that when you learn to release people and not become entangled by holding on to things and begrudging and so forth, then you're a free person. I've received a note. If I have your permission, I'm going to look at it. There's 24 devotees online. Let's welcome the devotees online. And please call in. We'd like you to text in to offer your reflections at 408-658-4654. That's 408-658-4654. 408-658-4654. Please text in now. Our operators are standing by to take your reflections. The lines are open now. Please. Okay, yes.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much. I was reflecting on something you said in the Bhagavatam class this morning, where you said that and it came up in the feedback from the other devotees too, is that when we learn to stop using our intelligence to try and fix a situation after it's become clear that it can't be fixed by us, then we get peace and we get the intelligence to actually understand how to move on. So it seems like Krishna's responsive and he waits for us to accept that we can't figure it out. And when that happens, then we can move beyond running on the hamster wheel of the mind, and he gives us the next step.
Yeah, thank you. That's a really great point. I'd say a couple things. The one thing is that Krishna asks us, invites us, more like, sometimes the Prabhupada says, orders. In the Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me, and I'll deliver you from all sinful actions. Don't worry, don't hesitate. He also says you can cross beyond all this nonsense of the material world just by surrendering to me. Otherwise, it's very difficult. But the thing is, and this is kind of exciting in a way, is you have to surrender first. You actually have to make the determination, I'm really going to surrender, and then see what happens later, and trust Krishna. So there are four regulative principles, and each one of them has a replacement in Krishna consciousness. It's not that you'll feel bereft from following the four regulative principles. The Prabhupada mentions in his writings that the replacement for gambling is to surrender to Krishna. Just put it all on the line. If you have that propensity to gamble, you know, big gamblers, they go in, it's like, I'm all in. Put it all in, and everyone's sweating, and you know, like, is the other person bluffing, or is he going to win this hand? And then, you know, the cards come out. So you have to put, of course, you don't have to put everything on the line. You can surrender in increments. There is a surrender process. But if you really want a stimulation in your life, step up to the verse and say, Krishna said it. Now, there's a lot of stuff I don't believe in that I hear in the newspaper and everywhere else, but I'm going to stake everything on this verse. What if you said that? And I'm going to surrender. And now see what happens. Just put all your chips in and go, all right, I'm all in on this verse. And after you surrender, that's when all the energy comes. In fact, Bhakti Tirthamaraj used to say, when you're given a service that's impossible, but you, in the instant that you agree to do it anyway, that's when you become empowered. If you stay around the outside of it and think, you know, I'll find a way around it, or I'll procrastinate, or whatever, you never get empowered. But if you say, I got an impossible instruction, but I'm going to do it anyway because I'm going to depend on Krishna. I'm going to do it. And once internally you decide, and then you make the verbal commitment saying doing this, then all the energy comes. And there are many opportunities to do this throughout life. Otherwise, it's business as usual. It's the same, what did you say, hamster wheel, going around and around, the same colossal host. No one actually goes anywhere. The only place to really go is back to Godhead. It's beyond the mode of material nature. So you have to do something drastic, actually. Something drastic has to be done to break out of the atmosphere of the three modes and the material world. And it's defined already, so just take it. Find out what it is, and then take it. And then you have a success. And a few more reflections? Yes?
You didn't go through all four of those?
No. Because I don't have... I found that in one place, and the other ones would be more extrapolation.
I really liked the puppet show, so having that visual way of seeing the pastime, Yajendra, and seeing that he was constantly fighting against this crocodile, which I see as my like representing my attempts to be happy in this material world separate from Krishna. And trying to, if I go through all these sufferings, trying to say, okay, I'll get through it by some other material means, which just leads to more suffering. And the minute Gajendra took that gamble just to surrender to Krishna, and it's like the biggest risk, he just gave up. He didn't keep fighting. He just gave up all his strength. He could have died at any moment, and he just put all his trust into Krishna. And I thought that's amazing. That's something that I'd really like to meditate on a lot. Because I did realize when you mentioned earlier too that whenever we start thinking of, the minute we start thinking of sense gratification, we become unhappy. And just to try to give up that whole mentality and just surrender everything to Krishna, it's
the alternative of thinking of possibilities for sense gratification is to think of opportunities for service. This goes along with what Ananda Murari Prabhu brought up in the beginning. If you think about service, then you immediately become happy, even if you can't do it right away. In fact, Prabhupada, in one famous lecture, says that in the beginning, you may not be able to do the service. And I just said, if you surrender to something that's impossible, then you get empowered to do it. You may not get empowered right away. But Prabhupada says in one lecture that even if you cannot do, but you think, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? He said, then you're also liberated, because you've already decided you're going to do. Another point about Gajendra, since he brought up his gambling, also, it may not have been exactly gamble, because he's already going down anyway. And he admits that during his trauma, when the alligator's on the crocodile's on his leg, he says that, I'm in a helpless position, therefore I'm calling out to you now. He said, pure devotees generally don't ask you for anything. So I know I'm not pure, because I'm asking for help. He said, but right now, unfortunately, I have a crocodile on my leg. So maybe it's an extenuating circumstance. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami and the other acharyas mentioned that in the process of surrender, as you're enacting you're surrendering your life, there may be ways in which there are precarious situations in your life and you have to call to Krishna or pray to Krishna for help. And he said, this is not outside the realm of pure devotional service, because it's natural. When you or your family members are suddenly challenged with grave danger, to say, oh Krishna, please help us. And also, the fact is, if one's life is dedicated to Krishna consciousness, and one's body or resources are immediately challenged, and you call to Krishna for help, because those are engaged in Krishna service, that's also not outside the realm of pure devotional service. Yes? A text has just come in.
Yeah, there are a lot of texts coming from.
A lot of texts.
So, first is Chaitanya Deva Prabhu, he is watching from.
Who is it?
Chaitanya Deva Prabhu.
From
him.
Chaitanya Deva. Jai Chaitanya
Deva. When we surrender to Krishna, Krishna gives intelligence within the Buddha Yoga, today's morning talk. And then from the first class, I remember devotee in Krishna consciousness should possess physical strength, enthusiasm, and sensual power to perform devotional service. And the third point, any ashram we may be, never stop fighting Maya. Sadhana Mataji, from ISIC, I like the analogy Gajendra and the crocodile and Maya at our lake. And what Mahatma Prabhu's point, forgiveness is for ourselves. I keep forgetting in thanks for reminder. Rajesh Prabhu, so I think I like the point that chanting is difficult, but other options are even far more difficult and complicated in timing. So happy to hear your voice and see you online. Radhe Prabhu. Something drastic has to be done to break out of the three modes of material nature. Chant, sincere japa, and a chapter of Gita a day. Whenever I hear your classes, I am inspired to stick with the chant program. Thank you.
Who is that, Radhaya?
Radhe.
Thank you, Radhaya. He's a great pundit. He should stick with chanting.
Hare Krishna, this is Lisa and Tara from Toronto. From the class this morning, we learned the idea of keeping the first purpose of ISKCON money card in your pocket. As you distribute books and read it out to the person, as you give them the book, they won't be able to take a donation fast enough. That was this idea. Hare Krishna.
Guaranteed, or your money back for those cards.
Thank you for such wonderful classes, and thank you to the devotee of ISKCON Denver for broadcasting.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Nice to hear from all of you. Thank you very much. Madhu, you had a point?
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay. We're running a little out of time, right? Timekeeper? Okay.
Thank you so much for your nice explanation. I have a question. So, how do you surrender in your day-to-day life like this? So from the Gajendra story, he tried everything, and you know, and then ultimately he decided that he has to surrender. So if you are not in that great situation in day-to-day life, how do you surrender? What's the concept of surrendering in your day-to-day life?
Well, the concept, in a general way, the reason we're reading the Gajendra story is to remind ourselves that we're in a similar situation. And to some degree, I emphasized in the beginning of class, we should have some pessimism about the material world and our chances here. Right? So that pervades the life of a devotee anyway. And then on a day-to-day basis, there's a way in which we have to take the small choices that we have to make, and you have to make a lot of choices in life, right? From minute to minute sometimes, day to day, you have to decide this one or that one. And the process of surrender means that you accept things that are favorable and reject things that are unfavorable to the cultivation of pure devotional service. So now, in your day-to-day life, when you're given choices, you have to analyze them and say, is this favorable for my service or unfavorable? And it's important also to have some service, because service is a rope that we hold on to that actually pulls us back to Godhead. And if you make your decisions in daily life based on how it will best improve your service and keep you close to service, you'll never make a mistake. It's impossible. You can't make a mistake. Krishna will make up for it. So look at it and see, how will this improve my service or decrease my service? And have that as the focal point of your life in all the financial decisions that you make, decisions where to send your kids for school, decisions about what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, and so forth. And that can be a guiding point. And the other thing is, don't worry, you can always adjust things as you go forward. Balance isn't about being perfectly still, it's about knowing how to move back to the center. And the center is your service to Krishna. And always keep moving back to that service and come back to it. Even if you stray a little bit, this way, that way, you make a mistake, you have to know how to come back to your service. Because your seva will save you. So, did you have a point? Okay. We have to end, because it's already getting into the wee hours of the night. And I thank everyone, and so does on behalf of my wife, Neera Akula. From the bottom of our hearts, we thank you very much for keeping this Sangha alive. Especially thank Tushya Krishna Prabhu when we saw him at the airport after we had flown on United Airlines, which is always a disappointing experience.
Lower expectations.
And we saw Tushya at the airport as we were coming out. Nirkula goes, "There's a sadhu." He's a sadhu. He has. And he's showing also, he and his wife, Prita Sundari, are showing how to actually live in the Grihastha ashram and at the same time perform pure devotional service. And that's what's going on there. And manage a whole community and the whole thing. It's actually miraculous. And there's so many luminaries in this community because there are devotees here, Mother Nidra and others who have been performing devotional service for so many years. And you can take faith by seeing the results of those who stick to the process of devotional service and just year after year go on like that. So a highly recommended process. You don't have to be a great devotee, but if you stay in the game, stay on the team, don't trade in your jersey, just stay, you'll win. Stay on the field and run out the clock. and you'll win the game because you're on the right team. And it doesn't matter if you're a big player, it doesn't even matter if you're on the injured reserve list, you're still going to get the ring. when the big play happens and you know everyone goes back to God, and you get to go too. You see that so many times in the Bhagavatam. So this may look like a small community, but it's a very important community. Strategically, in this point in history, what you're doing here, the time you're taking to organize yourselves, the trouble you're taking to get up and come to Mangalarti, or take care of your kids in Krishna consciousness, to do your work and at the same time donate some of the proceeds to help spread Krishna consciousness, to build things here around the community so they're nice for others to come in. All this is a huge investment. And all of that, because it's for the common cause of pleasing Krishna and Radha Govinda, it's all pure devotional service and it gets counted eternally. So take heart in this dark world, which is so discouraging in every way, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, from Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita, and lean in. Just lean into your japa. And take shelter of the Bhagavad Gita every day. It's Krishna speaking directly to you. And if you take full advantage of that, you'll never be bewildered. The only reason people are bewildered around the world nowadays is because they don't read Bhagavad Gita. Because anyone who's actually communing with Bhagavad Gita, reading the verses, and seeing when Krishna says, me, they're feeling Krishna on every page. They're not bewildered. They're happy. They can deal with adversity. Even the greatest calamity, Krishna says, can be tolerated by one who is deeply in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Govinda Ji ki
jai.
Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande.
Ayo.
Pancha Kapha Durgusha. Kripa Sundamevacha. Patikana Pavanigyo. Vaishnavigyo. And all glories to the devotees who have joined us online. Let's give another hand.
So tomorrow morning, the grace and mercy and generosity of both Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirankula, Mataji, Mother Nidra's generous disposition to look out after us like guardians. I remember some years ago I was speaking to Mother Nidra and how there's so many wonderful elders. And she said, and then we had brought up Vaisheshika Prabhu's name, and she said, Krishna, there's some that Krishna directly has arranged has sent to come to this mission to assist Srila Prabhupada. And I think for many of us, we feel an incredible feeling of safety, like a child with their guardians. So whenever Vaisheshika Prabhu and Nirankula Mata come, you just feel very safe on the spiritual path that you can keep carrying on, even if you feel like you're stumbling and bumbling and all over the place. Just their association gives that guardian-like comfort. So we're very much alive. And every morning I wake up and I just meditate on his generosity and encouragement. And so anything we're doing, it's by his encouraging presence through his instructions and through his incredible example. And we're very fortunate how many of us haven't met Srila Prabhupada, but we can just experience Srila Prabhupada through disciples such as Vaisheshika Prabhu, Nirankula Mata, Mother Nidra, and so many others who are showing such a wonderful examples. And these are next generation of acharyas and showing us how to also be ready to take on this service for the next generation coming up in our own journey. So, Hare Krishna, thank you. So please come tomorrow for a nice japa session. The japa starts at 5:20. If you can get here at 4:30 in the morning, that's when the Mangalarti is. We have kirtan.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.